Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. On Sunday, 21-year-old Jordan Spieth became the second youngest player to win the Masters tournament at Augusta National Golf Club in Georgia. And of course, that club has a long and storied tradition, and some of it shameful. Up until 1990, Augusta National did not admit African Americans, and the course didn't allow women on the greens until 2012. Even now, only a select few women get to play there. Now, drive just over 100 miles southwest on I-20, and you hit Macon, Georgia, a city that not long ago was also a bastion of segregation. Despite social movements and civil rights throughout the late 40s and 50s across the South and in the rest of the country, Macon, Georgia remained largely segregated well into the 1960s. The tide began to turn in Macon, however, in 1961, but not on the buses or at the hospitals or in housing or even in the laundromats. The first place to become integrated in Macon, Georgia was the Charles L. Bowden Golf Course. Michael Caputo, the Macon bureau chief at Georgia Public Broadcasting, detailed this little-known hidden history recently as the golf course was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and he joins me now. Michael, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, set the scene a little bit for us. What was the interaction between African Americans and whites prior to this integration on the golf course in Macon? Were black people allowed on the course at all?
Well, yeah, actually they were. I mean, ever since the course opened in September of 1940, African Americans caddied at the public course. Among those caddies was a gentleman named Nathaniel Veal, and he recalled how the caddies played their own brand of golf by the clubhouse in the rough. It was a game that was called two-hole. Here's Mr. Veal.
We had two holes, one short hole and one longer hole. And instead of like you got nine holes, we just had two. And if you hit the ball if it went in the fairway, we couldn't play it. You had to drop it out the fairway in the rough, because if you they just wasn't gonna have you out there on the golf course.
Now, the physical plant of this golf course, the actual property, had a history of its own.
It really did. The Roosevelt New Deal and the WPA helped build this golf course, as it did all across the country. Many public golf courses were built through the WPA, and it democratized the game. It allowed for people who didn't have a lot of money to play the game, and it really did spread the game to a much broader audience. This is one of the few New Deal-created golf courses, Bowden, that actually retains its look as it looked back in the 1930s and 40s.
So in 1961, African Americans in Macon petitioned the city to be able to play on the golf course, even while, as I mentioned, buses, the hospital, housing, other places, lunch counters, remained segregated. Why did they choose the Bowden Golf Course?
Well, really what happened with this particular situation was they were petitioning for years and really getting nowhere with these petitions. They were being ignored. Sam McPhee is the Maconite. He's a business leader here in town who spearheaded getting Bowden on the National Register of Historic Places. Here's how he described what they did.
There were hundreds of people in 1954 that were signed a petition to do this. And after years and years of delay, that narrowed down to probably just a handful of golfers, as you can imagine.
And so they were petitioning all along. And in 1955, the U.S. Supreme Court case Holmes v. Atlanta allowed for there to be integration of golf courses. But it just wasn't happening in Macon. It wasn't happening in many of the other places in Georgia. And then finally, this smaller, shrunk-down group decided to take things into their own hands. One of them, by the way, is still living. There was a foursome. Walter Worthen is his name. And he was among these four people who decided to take this action. Nathaniel Veal tells the story the best.
They was playing in Atlanta and different places, and so they wanted to play, and they asked to play, but they wouldn't let them play. And so finally they went to city council and said, we're going to play, and they came out and played, and everything been going well ever since.
So wait, they were denied access to the golf course, and then they just went and said, well, we're going to tee off, and they kind of did, and everyone sort of went, all right.
They just they slung their bags over their shoulder. This is including this Mr. Worthen, who, by the way, said being a caddy made this risk easier. They just decided we're going to put the bags on. We're going to walk through the front door instead of the back door. We're going to go out and we're going to play and we're going to see what happens. And nothing happened to them. They played. Word got around. They went to the city council days later, and finally the city council said, all right, we'll integrate. And it was merely just going out there and doing it that made it happen.
How much after that did you start playing?
The next day. For real? Not really. Maybe not the next day, but that weekend, because, you know, I was working and saw it on TV, and every black person, man in Macon bought clubs and started playing golf.
Every black man in Macon bought clubs and started playing golf, Michael Caputo, but what about the women?
Ah, well, the women, that came along much, much later. I do believe that you can look at this area now and this public golf course, and you'll see men and women playing, but it took a much longer time for that to happen. There are now both tournaments for both men and women at the golf course, and in fact, the current women's champion, she's an African-American woman, and she's been champion her name is Alice Jackson, for 8 or 9 years straight. It's quite a remarkable place, and it's also quite interesting that the history of the place hadn't been told. Sam McPhee has actually created a video that showcases the story of Mr. Worthen, the last living member of this foursome, and talks about this very interesting, very nonviolent way of integrating.
Michael Caputo, our president, the first African-American president, loves to play golf every single weekend. This seems like the kind of place maybe he would want to play before leaving office.
That would be a very interesting thought. And maybe Mr. Worthen and Mr. McPhee can petition him or something. We'll see.
part of the history of civil rights, part of the history of integration, told over 9 holes in Macon, Georgia, at the Bowden Golf Course. Michael Caputo is Macon Bureau Chief at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Great story, Michael.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.